to forward the plan to Office of State Planning. Please step on down.
Good morning. So since the last workshop in June, the chapters for the comprehensive plan have been updated. As were discussed by council, that plan was submitted to council approximately 3 weeks ago for your review and consideration. I want to just kind of go over some of the highlights. There was definitely discussion about the economic development chapter, so that's chapter 9. That was updated to reflect some of the different ages in the items and to address the manufacturing jobs on page 18. A couple of the charts were updated. Since that was printed and provided to council, we did update page 25 just to reflect the current state programs. That page was provided to council as well. Also, since it was some changes since we discussed were in the housing chapter, we went back through when we were going through the checklist, making sure we had all the information. So we did add a table regarding the number of subdivisions the county has reviewed and the number of lots and the number of permits that have been in. So that was added. That was included in your plan. We've also updated most recently Chapter 13, which is the mobility chapter. That page was submitted and provided to council. All we did was there was discussion about making sure we definitely reference master planning in the comprehensive plan. So we took the master planning strategy as that is in the future land use chapter and also added it to the mobility chapter to give it a little extra recognition that we do recognize that importance. So the next step, if you have any questions, will be to send it to the state for it to go through the PLUS process and the cabinet committee. They will then provide comments back. Council will review them, then schedule a public hearing. We'll hold a public hearing and then send the final back to the state for certification.
I got a quick question.
No, I'm just hearkening back to when we had the conversation about definitions of farm and stuff like that. There's nothing in this draft going up to the state that actually reflects any kind of consultants or staff or any kind of input in there as a definition for farming, or are we just going to address it later on?
There's not a specific strategy that to recognize the definition of a farm. There are other strategies to look at different sections of code in which that could be one of the items to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it'd be nice to have some reference in there for, again, a future council to say that we as a group, hopefully there's a consensus that the definition of farm should be discussed, just like we're talking with these other things. So it'd be nice to reflect it in that document. It would give it more weight down the road, just pulling that out. But anyway, it's just a...
Would that be more so of an ordinance issue than a...
I don't know. That's what I say.
Again, I believe there are strategies in there that are broad enough to look at those items, then include looking at the definition of a farm. I'm not sure it is up to council if you want to put a specific strategy.
I personally would.
That wants to say that we want to look at that. But again, the comprehensive plan is a holistic plan looking at the year 2045 and what the county wants to look at the year 2045. That may be something we can just do internally without it needing to be included in the plan. That, again, is up to council.
Well, when you get these broad suggestions, a lot of times a lot of things fall through the crack just because a year from now, 2 years from now, people forgot that we had these conversations or something. I just think it's pretty important as we address land use in the AR1 district.
Thoughts of council? Mr. Coble's suggestion?
Just some reference to it. I'm not saying take one side or the other. I'm just saying a strategy or something that says that this county should look at a new definition or defining what a farm is.
I would, Brilliant. Mike, I'm not disagreeing with George, but will it further delay it getting submitted to the state and further delay the process? And if so, does it make sense to do it now, or should we just put it back on for a future conversation?
Well, right now, the intent is to get it to the state as soon as possible because they have been expecting it, and we've been working with them. We would need language for that strategy to come up with, and then it would need to get reviewed and approved by county council. Again, I believe there is language in the plan that clearly go, hey, look at the definition of a farm.
I don't know.
But it definitely does look at all of those types of farm uses and it falls into multiple economic development, conservation, future land use.
Unless it's really cited specifically, pretty much, these broad brushes, it's too easy to do nothing.
And I would also point out that we've already been having those conversations prior to the adoption of the comprehensive plan.
I've had a lot of conversations for many years.
And to the point of the timeline, we submit it, we know it's coming back, we do know it's coming back, we're going to have that public hearing. At that point in time, we could insert something at that point, correct?
Correct.
So we're not delaying really the process.
Right. You can make some minor changes,
right.
You know, as, again, there will be comments coming back from the state, and there will also be public comments, so there will be time to make some changes to the plan.
I would offer the suggestion we get it sent off, and then there is a window to be able to insert something at a later date. What's our hard deadline with
November.
The state? November 1, November 30?
It's before the end of November, needs to be certified by the governor.
Which means we've got to have the public hearing, we've got to have everything finalized at that point.
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Burton?
I agree with George in that if it is not, the whole idea of the comp plan is to put in the doorways in which to, if council chooses to go through, to have the wording to be able to do that. If it's not in the comp plan, it's hard to get it, the definition, it's hard to get the ordinance or whatever you want to do through. It helps if it's written. And I'm not too concerned about the timeline as much as I am about getting the comp plan right. But if there is an opportunity to add this strategy at a later time, I think it should be added. I think we should launch the entire encyclopedia and then not forget that having a strategy to address this doesn't mean we have to, but it does mean that in a future time, a future council can, because there it is. So that's my opinion. I would launch it and then have it come back.
Well, maybe Mike, Janelle and the staff could start working on some wording, just some generic stuff saying, you know, pull that one page out, insert it, put it back in, but it just a line saying that a definition of a farm in Sussex County needs to be reviewed, considered, I don't care all those words, evaluate, whichever word you like, but I don't think it takes a whole lot of wordsmithing to insert it in the plan.
Mr. Robertson, would you step forward, please?
Forms a farm, man.
How long would it take to wordsmith George's thing about a farm?
Well, so I think the best course of action, because we delayed from last Tuesday on this, and we've got to get it to the state.
I thought we told them the 31st of July.
Yes, but there's behind-the-scenes information that staff has to do to get it to there.
I understand. I'm saying we told them we'd have it there 31st of July, did we not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I would prefer, knowing that this is going to come back to a full public hearing, and this isn't the final draft that's adopted, because we have to give it to the public so they can comment on it, and you all can formally adopt it. I would like to see us get it to the state, because they're going to come back with all sorts of comments that you all are going to have to evaluate whether to implement or not into the plan. This would just be in addition to the comments we get from the state and the comments we get from the public, and we can consider it. I agree that I don't think it's that complicated to add a strategy that says we're going to address this, but I'm not a big fan of trying to do that on the fly today.
Okay. I think we're going to have this another opportunity. That's good.
Absolutely.
If somebody could make a note of it,
if both of you would make notes.
Yeah, notes
done.
Made.
Okay.
We address that issue when it comes back.
Just a little thing, but
and I would just add on the timing. A lot of that's going to depend as far as the November date. You know, we send this, if you all act favorably on sending it, you know, to the state, and then we're somewhat on their timeline. It's going to take however long it takes for their agencies to review it and get that document prepared back to us. So we're sort of in a holding pattern at that point.
They'll have it for a couple of months, I'm sure, at least.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson,
my opinion is a farm's a farm. If somebody moves too close to it, that's their problem.
There you go. There you are.
It's a great definition.
You have both made notes of Mr. Cole's concern.
We have.
And we will address that when it comes back with the comments. We'll add that in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Did council have any other questions or discussion about the draft plan?
You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved that Sussex County Council send the draft 2018 comprehensive plan to the state to go through plus review and review by the Cabinet Committee.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Making progress.
I'm sure you're relieved. Jim Hickam, airport policy update.
Morning.
Morning.
Several years ago, the council adopted a set of four policy documents for the airport. The last volume was adopted in 2012, so it's time for us to review those and make sure they're saying the right things. The Airport Advisory Committee created a subcommittee to go through each one of the documents and make recommendations. And then those recommendations were added to some inputs that I had collected over the years. And the full committee unanimously adopted or recommended for adoption what you had in your packet. Most of the changes have to do with the change of the name of the airport. From 3 years ago, there's a couple definition changes, some addition of the FAA's policy on use of hangars, and then some changes in how we handle our T-hangar waiting list. But the rest was in your packet. I'd be happy to answer questions, or I have a motion.
Have I got any questions?
What's the T-hangar waiting list thing? There's a federal process on waiting?
No, it's our own process. We do it through the website. There's a form people fill out. There's 17 or 18 people on the list right now. And as vacancies come up, we have a process for, you know, fairly offering that vacancy.
Is it first on?
Yes. Right.
So.
And we do give people a chance to pass over an offer, you know, if the timing's not right or whatever. They get one pass over. Second time, if they turn down the offer, they get taken off the list.
If they're on the list, can they sub it out to another plane?
No.
It has to be their plane.
The T-hangers have to be rented by the registered owner of the airplane, and only that airplane or other airplanes that owner owns can be put in the T-hanger.
Okay. Thank you.
You have a motion, sir?
Yes. Be it moved, based on the recommendation of the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee, that the Sussex County Council adopts the revised Delaware Coastal Airport policies, items 1 through 4, as presented.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Obvious. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Change it. Well, next on the agenda says Jeff Cox. I don't see Jeff Cox, but it must be a
stand-in,
capable substitute coming up.
I hope so. Jeff is out of town for the day.
Good for him.
So, first of all, good morning. Thank you very much. Just wanted to say that every day our paramedics come to work to go out and do a good job and provide quality service. We never know what that day is going to entail. Certainly at the top of that list is going out and treating heart attack patients and those suffering from strokes. About a year ago, we were here before you when we received the 2017 American Heart Association Mission Lifeline Award for the silver level. Well, as 2017 came to an end, it was time to reevaluate the numbers and see where we stood for the performance here. And many of the measures that the American Heart Association puts out, they look at a general compliance level of about 75%, knowing that for any circumstance, there's always room for extenuating circumstances and delays and that kind of stuff. Well, I'm very happy to say that our paramedics have gone out and not only met and exceeded those expectations, but we've pretty much blown them away. Mm-hmm. So a couple of quick examples. The Heart Association recommends from the time that we arrive at a patient to completing an EKG to look for a heart attack, that gets done within the first 10 minutes. We're generally about 94% compliant with that 10-minute window. So we do quite well. Sometimes the difficulties we run into is someone, I don't think I'm having a heart attack, I think I'm fine, so we have to kind of convince them a little bit. So there's some circumstances like that. Another key component is quickly notifying the receiving hospitals that we have a heart attack patient, and we want to get them to you as quickly as possible. Start calling your teams together so we can get ready and get treated as soon as possible. The hospitals look at a door to what they call balloon time. So from the time that the patient arrives at the hospital to the point that they're in the cath lab and they open up that balloon to open up that cardiac artery, looking at having that done within 90 minutes. 97% of the time in 2017, from the time we arrived at the patient until that balloon was inflated in the cath lab was less than 90 minutes. That's not from hospital, from arrival at the hospital. That's from the time that we arrived at the scene and started treating that patient. Right. So our paramedics have done an outstanding job with recognizing these heart attack patients and calling the hospitals taking us at our word and calling the teams in if it's after hours so we can get this treatment started as quickly as possible. So we submitted the application for the 2018 recognition, and I have with me this morning Karen Gritton. She's the Director of Development with the American Heart Association, so I'll invite her to join me here.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me. I'm happy to be here. I'm very pleased with the progress and also the quick response times for the Sussex County EMS. We're all benefiting from that, and I want to thank you very much for that. I have today for you an award from the American Heart Association recognizing the Sussex County Emergency Medical Services in Georgetown, Delaware, Mission Lifeline, EMS, Silver Plus Achievement Award.
Silver Plus. Very good.
And I have one more. This comes directly from our local office in Delaware. Every year, the Sussex County EMS comes to our Heart Walk in Georgetown at Del Tech campus, and they actually demonstrate CPR at our event every year at the Heart Walk. And we're trying to decide exactly how many people we've actually trained and impacted. I know in Delaware so far, the American Heart Association believes we've trained about 45,000 people so far in Delaware, but we think Sussex County might be responsible for about 5,000 of those. But we're not totally certain. We're trying to get those numbers together. So just a small token of our appreciation.
Thank you so much.
Good.
Trying to change our title.
Lower
Slower
Delaware.
That's
fine.
Yeah. Got his high tech.
He's using his phone now, not a regular camera.
Chip, he's just high tech.
I'm sending these out of state so that someone can put them on social.
There you go. All good.
Here we go.
You're gonna get us money back, are you?
And there you go.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
And as always, thank all of you for all the job you do for our citizens.
Amen.
Do a great job.
Amen. Yep. Thank you all.
Next, Mr. Schoonover. Vehicle purchases, requests for proposals, and recommendation of award.
Morning, Council, ladies and gentlemen. I have Bobby Rogers Jr. here with me. He's a member of your fleet team. He represents Environmental Services. I represent EMS. And we're here today to ask for your approval for the this fiscal year's vehicle purchases that have been budgeted and approved. This is the first time that we've come together as a fleet team and done our request for proposals as one group. Usually I go first because we have a lengthy upfit, but we were able to bring it together and get it out this year. So this RFP is all the collection of 10 different vehicles that are used, going to be used throughout the county for all the various departments that are in their approved budget. If you approve today, the fleet team will then work with each individual department to get the vehicles ordered and delivered. So we solicited, as soon as the budget got done, back in June 27th, two newspapers, website directly sent to local vendors, and then on July 12th, we opened up sealed bids for the RFPs. Two were received, one for vehicles and one for the EMS response truck upfit. So if you have any questions, we'll take them, and if not, I have a couple motions.
Do you find it a little surprising only one vendor bid all these trucks?
Well, if you remember last year, there was only two. So we asked the questions, you know, why do we only get one? So just speaking with Heritage Fleet, which is the vendor, the first thing they told me is with the tariffs going on, the subcontractors are reluctant to give us pricing for the, like, the bodies and the snow plows and stuff like that because they don't know what the prices are going to be. And our RFP goes through the end of the fiscal year next June. So that was one. Bobby was contacted by regional Ford reps, and they encouraged their dealers to bid. And we do a lot of service work. Our service work is all done out here at the first state. And when I talked to the fleet gentleman out there, he says, look, we can't compete against a dealership that's specializing in fleet. So they're, you know, they have one person doing fleet, and Hertford has four or five people doing fleet. So it's on volume, not on price. We like that more. But I don't think, you know, to give you the example of the MS Suburban, it went up $309 from last year. So I don't think we're getting taken
right
by only having one bid. We certainly like to have more, but all we can do is offer, you know, present it out there to them and ask them to bid, answer any of their questions, which, you know, we certainly do as a fleet team. So
I see all these things obviously were like Ford, whatever they were. But I assume that the spec is written that certainly a GMC dealer could bid or a Chevrolet dealer could bid,
yeah,
or a Dodge dealer could bid.
All of them are written generic, except for the Suburban is a little bit more because I'm dealing with some size issues there with the flip-up doors and stuff, so it's a little bit more specific. I can't take an Expedition. It doesn't work.
No.
All the rest of them, Bobby does most of those other specs, and they're written generically. We want the best vehicle,
sure,
the lowest cost vehicle, but we also want it to work. You know, we don't want a vehicle that we get here and, oh, well, that's not really what we want. So we take the time to write the spec to get the vehicle.
I certainly agree. I just want to say write somebody out of spec necessarily. I mean,
the only one that's pretty exclusive is the Suburban.
So they do everything? I mean, so when we get the vehicle, it's all equipped? Or do we buy a basic unit and then we send it to somebody else to put in the other stuff?
The second bid was for the upfitting on
the
Suburban.
On the Suburban. Now, on some of the other vehicles, the upfit will be done by the vendor, all exclusively.
Original
we
vendor.
Get it, and it's all complete turnkey. This the upfit, since it's over the $5,000 mark, I have to bid it out. But it's also to a local vendor. So
I see some of these, I guess we're getting a lot of snow plows in the plane.
The snow plow was an option,
right?
The paramedics wanted it for a truck, so I just did it as a generic on all the trucks. One of the things as far as General Motors is changing body styles this year, so they're not offering very many body styles in the fleet service for the 2019 year.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we did, we put everything on there, and then each individual department, whatever they're budgeted for, they can pick off the list.
Sure.
But we didn't want to, you know, kind of have to come back and say, well, we forgot something. We just put it all on there and pick off of it as you
And then, Mike, real quick, trying to remember, we're not using the state's vendor, right? I think that one entity.
We will use the state vendor if that vehicle is comparable and cheaper. Sometimes what we find with the state contractors, there are some vehicles on there. One, they won't meet the department's needs, or two, once you take all the packages and add to it, they're a bit of a cheaper than after you add everything in that we need to meet that specific department's needs.
So sometimes going through the state, I'm trying to remember that entity that the state uses.
They just use state contract pricing. There's different vendors on there based on different vehicles. And there is some vehicles like, I think, for Joe Thomas, which is
sure,
the Interceptor, that will be off state contract. We don't bid that.
Now, I remember when we bought the EOC, the mobile unit, I think we use that Houston, can't remember the name, but
like a municipal
Houston Galveston.
Yeah. That was
right.
So I was just wondering if we were doing the same thing.
Yeah, we take a look at each vehicle at the state contract or a municipal contract and then choose the cheapest one.
Okay.
But we also find that we have to do an all inclusive RFP to get the individual needs and all the components, what you don't find on a municipal bid may be the snowplow or maybe the utility body that they specifically want. So we sort of have a catchment there.
Okay. Any more questions?
I am, just for edification, I'm familiar with the fleet, with the bid process. And if you are just bidding a vehicle that is just a standard just a standard vehicle. The state contracts are wonderful because the manufacturers make it that way.
Right.
When you talk about vehicles that you need, it's a pretty specialty vehicle. So your bid, I think the way you're doing it, whether you need the snowplow or not, you have it there, you know
right.
what it costs,
right.
and so it works. So it's the right, in my opinion, it's the right way to do it for cost.
Yeah, sure. And to give you this example of the snowplow, the local state contract is Iron Source right here in town. So some of my guys now said, go get a price because we thought it might be cheaper. It was actually, the bid is actually cheaper than the state contract. So we're kind of, you know, we're kind of trying to get the best.
Sure. Well, no, it sounds
know,
great.
Best of both worlds here, to, sure. you know, and work it that way.
Sure,
we have to.
It's a good thing you're doing it as a group,
a team, yes.
versus individual.
Yeah, and I listed the other team members that couldn't be here.
Sure.
So.
You have a motion.
I have two motions.
Yep. Vehicles first.
Vehicles first. Be it moved that Sussex County Council accepts from the lowest responsible bidder, Hertrick Fleet Services of Milford, Delaware. Request for various vehicle proposals, specifications A through J for the 2019 model year.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Mr. Wilson, second.
Second.
Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have yes. Motion carried. And your upfitting?
Okay. Motion two is for the upfit for the EMS Suburbans. Be it moved that Sussex County Council accepts from the lowest responsible bidder, First Due Customs, LLC of Seaford, Delaware, four conversion upfits for the 2019 model year Chevrolet Suburbans for use for the paramedic response vehicles at a cost of $12,968 each, total bid award of $51,872.
Pleasure, Council.
Yeah,
motion. Mr. Wilson, second.
Mr. Cole.
Questions on the motion?
Yes. How long? I'm not, for that company, what's the name of the company?
First Due Customs LLC of Seaford. They have built for the last previous two years for us.
Okay.
Gentleman does a nice job, stands behind his work, and very pleased with his services. So.
More questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank both of you and the rest of your committee. Medlars and Golden North Expansion, State Route 24, Love Creek and Camp Arrowhead Road, Project 17-04, change order number one.